Lesson 3. Outcomes. Identify communicable diseases that first responders commonly encounter. Infection control. As a firefighter, you may be called on to provide medical care to patients with communicable diseases. Communicable diseases are not always obvious. The ability to identify signs and symptoms of common communicable diseases along with the use of proper body substance isolation, BSI, procedures will greatly reduce your risk of infection. Immunizations are also an important safeguard against infection. Commonly encountered communicable diseases. Firefighters can be exposed to people with communicable diseases. Some diseases that are regularly encountered include hepatitis, HIV, AIDS, and multidrug-resistant organisms, MDR, such as staph infections. Several types of influenza may also be encountered. Hepatitis. Hepatitis is an inflammation of the liver. Viral hepatitis is most common, but drugs, alcohol, hazardous chemicals, or heredity can also cause the disease. Symptoms include a viral-like illness with yellowish discoloration of the eyes and skin. The different types of viral hepatitis are: Hepatitis A, typically caused by consuming food or water that has been contaminated, particularly by fecal matter. Hepatitis A can be transmitted by close contact with infected individuals. Signs and symptoms of hepatitis A include fatigue, abdominal pain, fever, dark urine, and a marked yellowing of the skin and/or eyes. This typically has no long-term consequences to an individual. Hepatitis A is the least serious form of viral hepatitis. Hepatitis B, typically transmitted through blood and other body fluids. Hepatitis B infections can be short-term or long-term in nature and can cause serious scarring and injury to the liver. It can progress to liver failure. Signs and symptoms of hepatitis B resemble those of hepatitis A. Hepatitis B is a serious and potentially lifelong infection. Hepatitis C, typically transmitted through blood and other bodily fluids. Hepatitis C differs from other types of hepatitis because infected individuals can go for many years without exhibiting symptoms. While the individual feels fine and is symptom-free, the virus has probably done serious damage to the liver. In some cases, this damage can be long-term or permanent. Liver failure can occur as with hepatitis B. Hepatitis D, Delta. This uncommon strain of hepatitis only occurs in individuals who are also infected by hepatitis B. This virus makes the effects of hepatitis B much worse. Vaccines are available for hepatitis A and B, but those for hepatitis C remain in development. Firefighters need to be immunized against hepatitis and other infectious diseases. The best way to combat hepatitis is by thoroughly washing your hands and maintaining proper BSI procedures, which will be detailed later in this chapter, Figure 23.4. Tuberculosis. Tuberculosis, TB, is a bacterial infection that primarily affects the respiratory system. TB is contagious and airborne. It spreads when infected persons breathe, cough, or sneeze. Because of how the disease is transmitted, incidences of TB are more prevalent in high-density living areas such as nursing homes and prisons, Figure 23.5. TB is considered to be active and the infected individual exhibits signs and symptoms of the illness. Signs and symptoms of active TB include fever, fatigue, chills, weight loss, painful breathing, productive cough, often with traces of blood, coughing that lasts several weeks. Because the signs and symptoms of TB are often similar to other illnesses, take BSI precautions and use an N95 mask, even if your patient is not known to be infected. N95 masks are detailed later in this chapter. No widely used vaccine protects against TB, but healthcare providers are typically skin tested annually to check for exposure to the disease. In addition, an annual purified protein derivative, PPD, test may be administered to determine exposure to tuberculosis. This test is performed by injecting an inactive bacterium just under the skin. You will be required to return to have the results determined within 48 to 72 hours. A reaction to this test may indicate that you have been exposed to tuberculosis. In these instances, a chest X-ray and follow-up with a physician may be necessary to determine if there is an active infection. However, there are occasionally individuals whose result is a false positive. HIV, AIDS. Acquired immune deficiency syndrome, AIDS, is a result of prolonged exposure to the human immunodeficiency virus, HIV. This condition weakens the affected person's immune system to the point where the body is unable to fight off diseases that a person with an uncompromised immune system could overcome. Early symptoms are similar to other viral illnesses, but more advanced stages of the disease lead to severe muscle wasting and an increased likelihood of contracting other infections. Due to this weakened immune defense, many persons with HIV are likely to have diseases such as hepatitis and TB. HIV is spread through contact with infected blood and bodily fluids. While HIV/AIDS are serious diseases, they pose far less risk to emergency responders than hepatitis and TB due largely to the short amount of time that HIV can survive outside of a body. However, it remains important to practice proper BSI procedures and to decontaminate any medical equipment before it is used on another patient. Information on the cleaning and disposal of contaminated items is provided later on in this chapter. Multidrug-resistant organisms, MDROs. Multidrug-resistant organisms are an increasing concern in healthcare settings because they are difficult to control and do not typically respond to conventional antibiotic treatment. Drug-resistant staph infections, also known as methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, MRSA, are commonly encountered types of MDRO. MRSA infections typically occur in healthcare settings, but there have been outbreaks in communities. These infections can develop in numerous ways but are usually initially seen as abscesses in the skin that are commonly mistaken for spider bites. Because MRSA infections spread easily, proper BSI precautions must be taken. In addition, all reusable medical equipment such as stethoscopes, blood pressure cuffs, and backboards must be sanitized after each use to prevent these types of infections from spreading. Other diseases. Occasionally, there are outbreaks of infectious diseases that occur in communities. Recent outbreaks in North America include H1N1 influenza, swine flu, avian influenza, bird flu, and others. Different infectious disease outbreaks could occur during your time as a firefighter. Regardless of the disease, emergency responders should be prepared to treat affected patients. Proper sanitation and BSI procedures will go a long way toward keeping you and your patients safe. Tests and treatment for communicable diseases. If you are exposed or possibly exposed to a communicable disease, you will follow local SOPs to be tested or treated for a variety of possible exposures. Some diseases, such as TB, may have annual testing procedures in place in your jurisdiction. In other cases, if patients test positive for a communicable disease like HIV, you may be treated immediately for the disease and then tested later to see if you contracted the disease or if treatment was successful. Other jurisdictions may test you whenever there is a possibility of exposure and compare these tests against baselines. Immunizations. As an emergency responder, a jurisdiction may require you to be immunized against certain infectious diseases if you have not already done so. Figure 23.6. Immunizations that may be required or recommended include Hepatitis B, Varicella, chickenpox, Influenza, Measles, Mumps, and Rubella, MMR, Tetanus/Diphtheria, Body Substance Isolation, BSI. Diseases are spread by pathogens, organisms that carry the disease and can cause infection. Pathogens exist in the body fluids of infected persons and can be transmitted from one person to another through contact with these fluids. While any type of body fluid can carry pathogens, blood-borne pathogens are encountered most often. Airborne pathogens are also a threat. Exposure occurs when the body fluid of an infected individual comes in contact with an exposed area of another person. There are numerous routes where emergency responders are susceptible to exposure. These include open wounds, cuts, and sores on the body. Other routes of exposure include contact with the eyes, nose, or mouth. Any break in the skin is a potential route of exposure, Figure 23.7. With the threat of exposure to communicable diseases, it is critical that firefighters take all precautions necessary to protect themselves from exposure. The best way to do this is by maintaining proper BSI procedures. BSI is an all-encompassing group of procedures that include hand washing, proper use of personal protective equipment, and proper disposal and/or cleaning of soiled items. The Canadian Provincial Health Authorities and the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, CDC, serve as good sources of information for establishing BSI procedures. Hand washing. Proper hand washing greatly reduces the transmission of disease and should be done frequently. This is especially true before and after coming in contact with a patient. Hands should be washed methodically with warm water and soap, figure 23.8. Special attention should be paid to soiled areas, the areas between fingers and fingernails. In addition, it is good practice to wash the wrists and forearms. A specially designed scrub pad may also be used. Hands should be washed for at least 30 seconds to ensure thorough cleaning. Hand washing is often not possible when responding to emergency calls. In these cases, an alcohol-based hand cleaning solution should be used, figure 23.9. This is especially true after providing patient care. It is a good practice to clean your hands with an alcohol solution before entering the passenger compartment of the apparatus. Personal protective equipment, PPE. To prevent the transmission of infectious diseases, emergency responders must use adequate personal protective equipment, PPE. PPE allows emergency responders to adjust their level of protection based on the potential threat of infection, figure 23.10. In some instances, this may mean simply wearing gloves. In other cases, a gown, mask, eye protection, and gloves may be needed. A jurisdiction will dictate the level of PPE that should be worn on emergency medical calls. When selecting PPE, it is better to wear too much than not enough. Refer to your department's SOPs regarding PPE use on emergency medical responses. These sections discuss types of PPE in more detail. Gloves. Gloves are an essential component of PPE and should always be worn during patient contact. In the past, medical gloves were typically made from latex. Unfortunately, some patients and healthcare providers have an allergic reaction to this material. Many jurisdictions supply emergency responders with gloves made from vinyl or other material. If your jurisdiction uses latex gloves, it is important to ask the patient if he or she has a latex allergy. Non-latex gloves should be available in these instances. Removing gloves. When moving from one patient to another, remove the old gloves and don a clean pair before providing treatment. Many responders carry multiple pairs of gloves for these instances. To remove soiled gloves, place two clean fingers on the inside of the glove and peel off, figure 23.11. Soiled gloves. Gloves soiled with blood or other body fluids should be disposed of in a sealed container that is specifically used for the disposal of biohazards. These containers are typically red in color and have a red liner, figure 23.12. Eye protection. Because the eyes are a route for disease entry, eye protection is necessary when blood or other body fluids can be splashed, sprayed, or spattered. Safety glasses are commonly used during medical responses, figure 23.13. Safety glasses. Safety glasses keep fluids away from the eyes and usually provide some type of impact resistance. Accessories are available for those who wear prescription glasses so they can be modified for use. In addition, emergency response agencies often use a combination mask and eye shield, figure 23.14. Helmet shields and Burke eye shields do not provide suitable eye protection for emergency medical use. Masks. Masks protect against respiratory hazards, airborne pathogens, and body fluids. In situations where contact with blood or other body fluids are a concern, surgical-style masks typically suffice. However, if you suspect that a patient has a communicable respiratory disease such as TB, it is best to use a mask that provides a greater level of respiratory protection. In these instances, placing a mask on the patient can also prevent the transmission of the disease to others. N95 respirators. When treating patients with TB, the jurisdiction may provide N95 respirators. These respirators are termed N95 because they are tested and shown to block at least 95% of airborne particles, figure 23.15. Because a proper seal is necessary to provide protection, prospective wearers should be fit tested to ensure that they can obtain a complete seal with the respirator and that they are able to perform required activities while wearing it. Gowns. Gowns protect exposed skin and your uniform from the spray and spatter of body fluids. They are especially useful in situations such as trauma and emergency childbirth. As with all PPE, know where gowns are stored on the apparatus or ambulance and be able to don a gown quickly, figure 23.16. Spare uniforms. A department may require that you have an extra uniform ensemble available at the station or on the apparatus in case your clothing becomes soiled, figure 23.17. Not only does a soiled uniform look unprofessional, but it can also allow for the spread of disease. Follow departmental guidelines regarding the cleaning of soiled uniforms. In case of extreme contamination, immediately shower and notify the department's infection control officer. Cleaning and disposal of contaminated items. Medical equipment and non-disposable PPE that come into contact with any patient must be considered to be contaminated. Decontamination must follow the requirements of NFPA 1581, Standard on Fire Department Infection Control Program, and the department's infection control protocol. Follow these general steps for decontaminating equipment and PPE. Wear disposable gloves, mask, and eye protection to place contaminated items in a biohazard bag or container. Transport the contaminated items to the designated disinfecting area of the fire station or other facility. Don the appropriate splash-resistive eyewear, cleaning gloves, and fluid-resistant clothing designated for decontaminating equipment. Use a solution of bleach and water or disinfectant in accordance with the equipment or PPE manufacturer's instructions, figure 23.18. Do not decontaminate equipment or PPE in the kitchen, bathroom, or other living areas of the fire station. Contaminated station uniforms or structural PPE must not be taken home or cleaned in normal laundry facilities, figure 23.19. Decontaminate the sink and cleaning area, remove PPE worn during cleaning, and dispose of in accordance with fire department protocol. Contaminated disposable equipment and PPE must be placed in medical waste containers and disposed of in accordance with local protocol. Needles and blades must be placed in sharps containers designated for such items. Sharps containers must be closable, puncture-proof, leak-proof, and labeled according to federal, state, or local regulations.